Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 9th, 2012. Okay, I can admit it. Left to my own devices, there are some passages of Scripture that I would probably simply choose never to read again. I've read the Bible from cover to cover a number of times, but there are still sections that call me up short, challenge my perspective, confront my view of God, make me rethink my theology. Sometimes these passages of Scripture cut a little too close and I get uncomfortable. Yeah, left to my own devices, I would pick and choose, and I would always opt for the passages that gave me the warm and fuzzy feeling. But the church calls us through the daily office lectionary to read the Scriptures in course, sequentially. So we don't get to pick and choose and skip around. We don't get to avoid the difficult passages of Scripture. Today's one of those days. Yesterday we heard Paul in his letter to the Corinthian church take on the people in the church who were libertarians, the folks who were saying, "All things are lawful for me." And Paul responds by saying, "All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient." Today he takes on a different group within the church at Corinth. He takes on a group which I think were mostly ascetical males. These were people who were convinced that the way to get close to God was to deny the body, to get out from the world, to live a remarkably different lifestyle. They had a motto too, and it's a motto that is uncomfortable for me. The motto of these ascetics was, "It is well for a man not to touch a woman." Paul takes on their motto. He affirms that within any group of people in the church, some have been gifted with the gift of singleness and some have been gifted with being married. He actually says each has a particular gift from God, one having one kind and another a different kind. But it's not exactly a ringing endorsement for the married life, or even for the relational life. He says, it is well for people to remain unmarried. Now, Bible scholars have said that part of this has to do with Paul's sympathies toward the ascetic party was that they both agreed upon the imminent return of Christ. One wouldn't need to be burdened down with the burdens of families when Jesus was going to come at any minute. Both the ascetics and Paul could have never imagined that 20 plus centuries later the church would still be saying Christ will come again. And yet, this passage of Scripture is difficult, because while Paul gives a nod that our states of being in relationship, either as single people or people in relationship with others in an intimate fashion, is a gift from God, he's not terribly encouraging. I don't know quite what to make of this, but I believe that at some level what Paul is wrestling with is this understanding that our relationships matter, like I said yesterday, and that how we live out those relationships is somehow a reflection of how we live out our life with God. In the church, in the Episcopal Church, we've spent a fair amount of time wrestling with relationship issues over the last few years. We're pretty clear that we affirm singleness, and we're pretty clear that we affirm marriage. We've wrestled with what it means or could mean to affirm relationships between persons of the same gender. We're still wrestling with that. Different people have plenty of opinions about it. We're trying to figure out what is a pastoral response, what is a theological response, what is a liturgical response. We don't have all of those answers yet, and we continue to wrestle. I wish that Paul had been warm and fuzzy here. But he was dealing with a particular time and a particular place and from his own particular set of prejudices and thought patterns, his own particular perspective. So I'm leaving today with the realization that I'm called to wrestle some more. I'm called to wrestle with what Paul has to say in this passage about singleness and marriage. And I'm also called to wrestle with what it means to be an inclusive church in the middle of culture wars and in the middle of incendiary and prejudicial comments, in the middle of all of this frothiness that is living life. I think the one thing that Paul underscores in this passage that we have today has to do with faithfulness, and it has to do with fidelity, and it has to do with being clear that we are all on even footing before God. The person who is in relationship or the person who is single, neither is better than the other. All of us stand before God on equal ground. So I leave today's passage with a lot of questions and not many answers. And maybe that's the opportunity to pray a little more and to wrestle a little more and to question a little more. And maybe the fact that I'm uncomfortable with this passage of Scripture is precisely the reason the church has given it to me to read. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, that as your Son Jesus Christ prayed for his enemies on the cross, so we may have grace to forgive those who wrongfully or scornfully use us, that we ourselves may be able to receive your forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Until tomorrow, may the peace of the Lord be with you.